You know, it's living where we do sort of a plethora of different ideas, different religions, different everything. We don't quite understand the shock of this having Gentiles come into the promise. The Jews carried that promise, yeah? Starting with Abraham in about 1700 BC. And now all of a sudden, it's open to everybody. Well, what about the laws that Moses gave us? What we eat, what we don't eat, and so forth. And it was a tremendous crisis in the early church. And this event sort of precipitates it, where the Holy Spirit just gives the faith to all these Greeks, all these non-Jews. And Barnabas, wonderful man, Barnabas. His name means like son of consolation. You see, so they sent Barnabas to check up on this going on. It's in Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, imagine what a pure heart he had. I mean, say he's 35. 35 years of this is the will of God. This is the plan of God. We are the people of God. And then to see all these people praying in tongues, praising God. And see, and what was his reaction? He rejoiced. We don't have a monopoly on God's grace. If everybody in this whole neighborhood became a real Christian and left us in the dust, we could clap. That's great. But this was we're supposed to be doing that. So that's not a shock for us. But the Jews, their understanding of God's plan was one day the whole world would believe in the one true God, and the Jews would teach them what that means and how to live it. That was their idea. They did have they were just closed in, you see, but okay. And Barnabas saw all this, and he rejoiced. That's a very pure heart, isn't it? And so then there were so many people. He went to Tarsus to look for Saul. Again, going to find a troublemaker. Barnabas is a very interesting person. And later on, as you know, Barnabas and Saul have a falling out. And Luke calls it a paroxysmos. It's quite an argument. And Barnabas' grace, you see, because he took Mark and went, Paul, that kid was with us once before. He went home. He's not coming anymore. And so, anyway, the humanity of the church. Now, this is the Feast of the Dedication, huh? In Kenya. It's the day that commemorates the restoration of the temple under the Maccabees. The Jews had been dominated and the temple had been profaned, and there was the abomination of desolation, as they called it, the Jews called it, was in the temple. It was a statue of a god in their temple. So finally they drove these guys out. First thing they did, of course, was to get rid of that and get rid of the altar. That altar had been profaned. And they built another altar. Then they had a feast. And it's this feast, see, of the dedication. So the Jews gathered around him and said, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, just tell us. Jesus says, I already told you. The works I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe, because you are not among my sheep. So what's the definition now of one of the sheep? We just had it yesterday. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. I was reading yesterday about the mess in Somaliland and the way these people are being treated and murdered, and you know, but they're faithful. The bishop wrote a letter to lots of people, not to me. I mean, it's one of those form letters asking for help, funds so they can eat, and you know, but no one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. And then the Father and I are one. And they get this. So now they want to go and kill him. Imagine, you're making yourself equal to Adonai. Of course he is. He is. Now this, you see, as we're going through Paschal time, you see, we're learning. So what's our Lord saying here? This is the Feast of the Dedication. He's saying, I'm the temple. I'm the place where God dwells. I'm the place where God acts. This temple, I've already predicted, is not going to last. It's going to be destroyed. But I am the temple. You see, I'm the place because I am where God dwells. I and the Father are one. It takes a while to learn that. We just go to the Lord and say, look, I got it. I believe it. I know. But let it be real for me, please, Lord. That you are divine. You and the Father are one in the Holy Spirit. What a marvelous thing to know. What a beautiful thing to know. That God is not a great big lonely monad running this world. He's a family. Infinite, beautiful, total, self-giving love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from all eternity into eternity. And he's the one who created us. He's the one who redeemed us. He's the one who's calling us to live with him forever. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's the temple. Jesus is the temple. Do you remember when and Nathanael said, you're the Messiah. Jesus said, Nathanael, listen. Just because I said I saw you under the fig tree 2 miles away, you will see one day the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That's the vision of Jacob, right? That's the place of the I'm the temple, because that's out of that came the temple at Bethel, house of God, Bethel. And Jesus is saying, I'm the house of God. Let's pray that the world, we ourselves and the world, get to know this, really know it.